We're going to have a NHL draft special on this radio station tonight, so make sure you're listening for that. Again, Panthers don't have a pick tonight. They don't pick till the fourth round. So the NHL draft is tonight, and we had Randy Moeller in studio with us. Do you recall when this was? This
is like years ago.
5 years ago? Yeah. It had to be probably longer. It was probably before COVID, right? So
No. No, this was like 2022.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Yeah.
We had him in studio because he was doing the Panthers draft show that night.
Correct.
So he was at the station. We brought him in the studio, and part of the conversation revolved around his NHL draft story. We had never done one with a hockey player before. And Moeller, obviously, an entertaining guest, and has a gift for storytelling. And so here it is from a few years ago, Randy Moeller and his NHL draft night story. Do me a favor here, because you know on this show we love the human interest and the silly side of stuff. And when it comes to the NFL draft, we always have people tell their draft stories. And we've had it from you before. But tell us, because Moeller, you went in the first round of the NHL draft, right? The Quebec Nordiques.
Yeah,
you don't even exist anymore.
Oh, it took me 7 years to ruin that franchise.
But what year did you go in the NHL draft?
81. The draft was in Montreal. This was before it was televised.
Right.
Wasn't even on radio. My agent at the time, I knew I was going to be drafted in the first round.
Did you play college or were you
junior hockey in Western
junior
Canada?
Hockey.
Yeah. And so my agent flew me out to the draft, and I met with a couple of teams the night before. It was all done in one day. And then the draft would start at like 8 o'clock in the morning. So
no pomp and circumstance.
No. And the stories that I like to tell, because I was young and very naive and coming right off the turnip truck out in Western Canada, fell off that a few times, is my agent, after I did the meetings, took us out. There's a bunch of clients that he had that we were all getting drafted. We went out to a fancy steak dinner, and everybody ordered Caesar salad. I'd never had Caesar salad before, so I ordered, told the lady, can I get that with Thousand Island dressing, please? So that was number one.
But in all honesty, for people who don't know, you grew up in Red Deer,
yeah.
Alberta,
yeah.
Which is a tiny little town.
Yes, yeah. Caesar salad. I never had Caesar salad before. I never heard of it before.
It was just salad. If you were getting a salad, it was salad.
I've really never been to a steakhouse before. You know, a fancy sit-down white linen.
My guess is, Solana, like you were, you know, when you talk about like central casting for like hockey. My guess is you lived, eat,
everything.
Breathe. Hockey. It's what you knew. It's all you did.
It's 40 below zero for 7 months in my hometown.
That's
so that's all you do. So the next day, we're sitting up in the stands, and I'm so nervous, and before the draft starts, one of my heroes growing up, I could watch him on Hockey Night in Canada. We only had two channels, and Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday night was Larry Robinson, the big defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens. Great Hall of Fame defenseman. I see him. And he goes down, and I got to go to the bathroom. So I go down and come out of the stands, go into the VOM, and that I follow him in. And we're both standing at the urinals or whatever. And I was so nervous, whatever. He kind of looked over at me, and while we were standing at the urinals, and I stuck out my hand to shake his hand. I wanted to meet him or whatever. And he kind of
recoiled a little bit
and shook my hand or whatever. So that was number two. Number three, after the first round in Montreal, they break. And when you're drafted by that team, you come down out of the stands, you meet everybody at the table, and you sit at the table. After the first round, they break for lunch. In the old Montreal Forum, they had a fancy restaurant. All the teams have tables up there as well, or whatever, most of them, and you go for lunch. And I'm with the Quebec Nordiques, and I just get drafted or whatever, and I'm meeting everybody. I get invited to go for lunch. We go up there, and they've already served the soup, and it is tomato macaroni soup, which is very popular up in Quebec. Tomato macaroni suit, and I'm in this tweed jacket with a tweed tie, and I go to sit down. We're all now sitting down. I go to sit down, and I'm looking up, and about 3 inches of the bottom of my tie go right into the tomato soup. Oh, yeah. And it's right in there. And I look and I notice, and everybody's still kind of talking and finding their seats or whatever. So I slowly take it out and it's dripping and I rinse it. I rinse the thing right into the soup like that. And now with my white shirt, with my white shirt, dress shirt. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I tucked it, my tie, I tucked it as far as I could into my pants underneath or whatever. Well, it looked like I got shot in the belly. So I sat there the whole time, I was right up against the table so nobody could see this or whatever.
They're thinking, our guy's defective.
Now all buddies of mine that played in Western Canada in the Western Junior Hockey League, whatever, we all get drafted, and there was a number of us that were represented by this one agent, Billy Waters. And so after we got drafted and that, the second round started, whatever, and we've got flights going back to Edmonton and Calgary on Air Canada out of Montreal that we're leaving at about 6 o'clock at night. Well, we decided we were going to go downtown Montreal, never been there or whatever, to a place that they call Crescent Street. All it is bars and everything, and we're going to celebrate. And drinking age is 18 up there, and that we're 18, and that, so we go down there. And we got carried away, and there were 6 of us, whatever, and we all missed our flights. we missed our flights, and that. So we had to take red eyes home, and you should have seen the look on my parents' face when I had to tell them that we missed the flight because I was sitting in a bar and had to take the red eye home to get back at 5:30 in the morning back out in Western Canada. So that was my draft day's experience.
It's an unbelievable story.
It's a great draft day.
I find it I always find it funny because you do hear this about, you know, sometimes NBA stars, even Giannis Antetokounmpo, who really, you know, comes from Greece and hadn't experienced a lot of the largesse that professional athletes will experience. But I find it funny that, you know, a lot of kids go from kind of this really myopic view of the world, right? Your view was hockey. That was it. And you were playing for fun. Yeah. I mean, it was fun for you. And then all of a sudden, you're thrown into this world where even in the 80s, it's still a business. And now you're going to have more money than you've ever had. Not that it was comparable to what the kids are getting nowadays.
Oh,
but
unbelievable.
It's like, I mean, your life, I'm guessing, turns on a 180.
Well, and not only that, Hawk, I was drafted by the Quebec Nordiques, where I went back to junior. I went to training camp, signed my contract, and then I knew I was going back to junior, and I played one more year in junior, and then I made as a 19-year-old with the Quebec Nordiques in Quebec City, a beautiful, beautiful city. 97% of the population there don't speak English at that time.
Right.
And here's me that don't speak French and that. But in saying that, though, it was so enjoyable. The French people are so passionate. They knew it's a small town there, and they could pick me out. Can you imagine? 6'3", blonde with hair or whatever. They knew exactly who I was, and they would go out of their way to try and communicate with you and make you feel welcome. And I loved every minute of it and was there for 7 years, and it was a lot of fun. The last story I'll tell very quickly is my first year, we're about 7-8 games in. Our games were broadcast on a station called Quatre Saisons, 4 Seasons. And they asked me, they said, Randy, would you like to do an interview? And I would started to take some French lessons very early or whatever. And so I said, yeah, I'm all gung-ho for it. So after the first period, they take me in, put the towel on, I sit down. We do a 4-minute interview all in French. And I answer all the questions. And after I got up or whatever, I was so proud of myself. I go walking into the locker room. At the time, they'd have a couple of TVs there. And my defense partner, Moose DuPont, at the time he was 34, 35 years old or whatever. And I said, how do you think I did? And he said, we couldn't understand a word you were saying. But I tell you, because I tried.
That was endearing, I'm sure.
And I could do no wrong in Quebec City after that with the French people.
So just explain it to me, because obviously we don't know hockey the way that you do. You go back to juniors, but everyone knows you're a first-round NHL pick. Are they trying to take you out, or Are other players looking to make a name off of you, or are you like royalty? Like you're special.
They wanted to, but back in those days, 300 minutes and penalty minutes. So
you were able to
try.
Hold your own.
You could try.
You were able to hold your own.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in the sin bin.
Look at that!
In the sin bin.
Look at that guy over there.
Yeah,
like a sniper coming in with some hockey terminology. What else do you have for us, Solana? Give us another.
I'm all out of hockey terminology. Unfortunately,
dumped him after sin bin. That was it. We stumped.
I thought you were going to come with like, oh, I scored bar down.
I mean, a couple of triple deeks, a biscuit, a sin bin, and he is spent.
Get Cronwald.
You light the lamp a lot, though, Moeller?
I light the lamp all right.
Put him where the grandma hides her goods.
Wow. Is that what it is? What is it? I mean, it could be lots of things in lots of places.
I mean, the one that brought him to prominence on the Levitard show, I think, where Mrs. Moeller keeps the peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what put you on the radar?
Oh, those days were fun, weren't they?
Those days were the best, man.
Yeah.
Those days were the best.
Mama cooked the breakfast without no hog.
I draw ding-dongs on people. One of the all-time classic goal calls. I mean, just unbelievable. And so then, for people who don't know, because they hear you on the show, but they may not know your whole history. So after seven seasons in Quebec, you get traded where?
To the Rangers.
And then you play there for how long?
2.5 years.
And how long did you end up at the Panthers? It was just a cup of coffee, right?
It ended before it even started. Played 16 games. It was a lockout year, and I was I caught a very unfortunate disease that I had to retire. It was called old age.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's a young sport. The average age of an NHL player is less than 5 years now, right now.
And your career was over a decade.
I played 13 well. I fooled them for 13 years and that. But I was 31 years old, 32, coming up on 32 years old, and I was done.
But we've talked about it before, though. It was unmistakable. You knew it, right? I mean, and I think you had told us the Panthers had even suggested, hey, it may be time to hang
up. Well, the way I describe it was I was a stay-at-home defenseman, and the Panthers told me to stay at home. So
take it to the next level. Really stay at home. I think I'm doing that, coach. I'm back here. No. Really stay at home.
That's home. That's it.
Did you ever imagine you'd be working for the Panthers this long?
No. I'm coming up on 30 years now.
I mean, it's crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very fortunate.